Now we finished up with the appetizer and we got the main course because it's a positive points on aging. And we got Miss Karen with us from over at Oakleaf Village in Lexington. Hey, anybody that brings gifts is the main course.
Welcome. Welcome to Tuesday, right. Karen. Yes. We're glad to see you.
Yes, and appropriately with Kevin here, welcome to Fat Tuesday because you brought us goodies. So
you know, it's also known as Shrove Tuesday.
No, I don't know that. Shrove Tuesday.
Shrove Tuesday is a Catholic and Anglican word for basically giving up all the carbohydrates in your house, and you're not supposed to eat them during the next 40 days.
Right, the Lent.
So that's why they have pancake suppers.
Right, and today is National Pancake Day.
It is National Pancake Day.
Right, and that's why they do that. So you clean out all the, and most of all the things you guys were talking about were yeasty grain products. Mm-hmm. And sugary things. So that's what you're supposed to give up.
So have fun today and then get it out of your system.
That's right.
Come tomorrow, you're not supposed
to have it. I think you just told me that Lent is actually a give up carbs for 40 days.
Absolutely, why not?
I mean, I'm a hard pass.
How about 40 minutes?
Maybe 40 minutes. I'm going to go hard pass.
You guys just keep eating your biscuits and talk to me later.
That's just, right.
You know, there are some benefits of being Jewish around here.
I mean,
you know?
There's certain tenets of faith that are just like, nah.
Well, now there's also the little misnomer that I didn't realize till I was an adult that on Sundays, because really between Fat Tuesday or Shrove Tuesday and Easter, there's really more than 40 days. So on Sundays, you get to have a break from all those things you've given up. So you could actually You have a cheat day.
Lent cheat day.
Yeah. Yes. So you could have carbs on those days.
You know what the modern day version of all these things is called? Keto Tuesday.
That's a good point.
That's the modern day. Yeah, yeah. Well, tomorrow
is not what we're talking about.
Tomorrow is not Fat Tuesday or Fat Wednesday. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Yes. And that's interesting in the older adult community, especially when you have situations like dementia.
Yes. So today we're going to talk about the four R's of creating a dementia-friendly Valentine's Day.
Okay.
A lot of these are going to sound repetitious, but they're really not, because you're dealing more than caregiving. You're dealing with a loved one, someone that you care and have spent time with for many years usually. Mm-hmm. Rule number one is what I say all the time, though. Before we get into this, please remember you have to be flexible, because just because you have this great plan doesn't mean they're going to let you get through it, and it's not necessarily going to work. Do not get upset. Remember, the person you're dealing with does have dementia. Okay?
Sure.
And remember that you love them.
That's right.
That's where the patience comes from, is I love this person.
I love this person. And sometimes just remember that they love you too, because, mm-hmm. you know, they just don't understand.
Also, let's also remember that for many, 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 many years, very likely this person was the one that's taking care of you.
Caring for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a tough thing to do.
Exactly.
So we're going to talk about reminiscing. You know, we've talked about reminiscing before, but usually when we talk about reminiscing, it's, you know, do family things with them. Talk to them about their grandparents or your children or their brothers and sisters. But when you're reminiscing with a spouse or someone that you spent 50 years with, you want to reminisce about things that y'all enjoy doing. You know, talk about your wedding. Pull out your wedding photographs. Look at all the people in them. Don't remind them, because Phil and I did this the other day and it was not fun. Don't remind them how many of them are dead.
Oh, no.
Because when you've been married 40 years, there's a lot of people who have gone on.
Sure.
Yeah.
So don't do that. But just talk about, well, this is your mother, and look at that pretty dress that she had on. Don't you remember how nice she looked in blue? And look at those earrings that she have on. I believe that you have those earrings. Do you still wear those earrings? Great way to reminisce. You know, pull out those things that you used to look at. If you have a video of your wedding, pull that out. Look at the people at the reception dancing and having fun. Laugh about, you know, the things that happened at your receptions. It's a great way to bring back love times and things that they might remember. Talk about your honeymoon. Where did you go? What did you do? Phil and I have a terrible story about the fact that he basically got us kicked out of Luxembourg because we had a conversation about water, and it's a long story, but we're not invited back to Luxembourg, shall I say?
Wow.
An entire country. That's fantastic.
It's a very small country. Just remember that.
Wow.
We were with some other people, but it was fun. I mean, and we still laugh about that to this day. And if I were to talk about, hey, Phil, you remember Luxembourg? He'd probably go, yeah, we're not going to talk about Aqua anymore.
The hotel that Charlie and I stayed at for our honeymoon, we had to check the remote control out at the front desk.
okay.
Wow. Yeah, we had to like leave collateral so that we could have the front, the remote control.
You guys have stories.
That's how super cheap it was.
That's stories, wow.
Well, and we all have stories, don't we?
Sure, of course.
You and Lainey have stories, and absolutely. So pull them out. Talk about a favorite restaurant or an experience that happened at your favorite restaurant. You know, we all have those kinds of things. So when you're reminiscing, make sure you're pulling out the fun things. Sometimes it could be bad, like getting kicked out of Luxembourg, but you got to think of it that way. But do not, under any circumstance, say, "Don't you remember?"
Right.
That's my key sentence, and I say it every time I'm here. Yeah. Don't ever say that to people with dementia, because they don't remember. And even if they do, they might not really remember what it is or know what they're remembering. They may not feel the same about it as you do.
And the whole goal of this is to take them away from the stress of what they're dealing with, not to throw it back in their face.
Right. Exactly. So much anxiety can come from being asked to do something you're not capable of doing.
Correct. And it's also, if you do that, then you're setting yourself up for failure.
Right.
And you don't want to set yourself up for failure.
What's the
either.
Whole purpose of this exercise anyway? It's not to create stress. It's to alleviate stress.
And to feel wonderful.
To feel joy. Yeah, yeah. Bring joy to somebody.
And, we've talked about it before. One of the things that people with dementia, they may not understand what you're saying, but they know how you're making them feel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you want to do. This is all about laughing and having fun and reminiscing on silly things that happened to you in your past. What did your kids do? Did you go to football games with them? What is important to your family and to you and your loved one? So you do that. You also want to reconnect with them. Now that can be very challenging when a person can't talk or when a person does have dementia. But you can try in numerous ways to create an intimacy and love and just a connection, just holding hands. Sitting on a sofa and holding hands can be a huge thing just to do. Share a meal. Maybe your loved one can't eat and can't hold a fork anymore. So help them eat.
Right.
Bring in finger foods. Something silly like little pedophores, little cakes that they can nibble on that they would like. And remember, sweet is the last taste bud to go. So they're probably going to eat the sugar before they're going to eat the broccoli.
Dear friends of ours, her dad absolutely always loved milkshakes. So I would bring over a milkshake every now and then. And just bring him his milkshake.
Yeah.
And here, Doc, here's a milkshake for you.
Yeah.
And again, unless there's a problem with swallowing and things like that, it's not a difficult task. And it's, as you said, I didn't know that scientifically. Is that science that it's the last taste bud? I didn't know that.
Well,
that's the last taste bud to go. But boy, that makes a lot of sense.
I know we're talking about Lent beginning tomorrow and all that. But here's the thing. Broccoli is not your Valentine treat. That's not a thing. So
it shouldn't
when
be,
you're thinking about Valentine's.
It might be. I don't know.
Some sweets, some chocolates, some cakes, these kinds of things.
Those kinds of things.
I get what you're saying, though, because, again, take them back to their comfort zone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever you can do to take them, because you've taught me a lot about not taking someone with dementia out of his or her comfort zone. But the more you can keep them in their comfort zone, that's a win for both.
And I think if you were to bring their favorites, like you mentioned the milkshake, their favorites, it's not so much a don't you remember this is your favorite as much as it's they could be rediscovering that this is their favorite.
Right. That's right.
Right. And not even having forgotten that it is, but here we go now.
Yeah. We're trying this. And, when you're in, if they're in a community or even if they're at home, you've got dementia, you don't get out to experience things. So bring them a cream-filled donut.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Bring them what they want because they may not get that sort of thing.
Right.
Sit and watch a movie with them. Chances are good they're not going to have the patience to sit there and watch a whole movie, but watch 5 minutes of it. Again, sit next to them. Be present. Be in the moment with them. And stay connected, because that's really what's going to make them feel comfortable. Smiles, eye contact, touching, all that kind of stuff. It really does make them come around to where you are at this moment, at that time.
Yeah. Hold tight. We'll do more with our positive points on aging. Our good friend Miss Karen is with us from Oakleaf Village in Lexington. We'll come back after we get you the Fox Business Report on The Point.
Mornings with Kev. Columbia's local talk radio experience continues now from the Park Fireside Studios.
All right, we're about 8 minutes before 9 o'clock. We've got our positive points on aging continuing, and Miss Karen is with us from over at Oakleaf Village in Lexington. A big shout out to my friends at Oakleaf Village. Thank you for providing Miss Karen to us and letting us use her to talk about so many things that are important in the community when we're talking about our older adults and seniors. So thank you to Oakleaf for that. Thank you, Miss Karen, for schlepping out here to be with us this morning. So we've been talking about, with Valentine's Day right on the horizon, and this can apply to a lot of holidays, some of what we're talking about, but certainly with Valentine's Day tomorrow, you're giving us some tips on folks that are dealing with dementia, some ways to still make Valentine special.
Valentine's Day is different from other holidays when you think about it, because it's really a one-on-one moment. It's not something you share with 15 other of your best friends or your family members. It's usually you and your spouse, you and the person that you're engaged with. Excuse me. And so it does make it a different moment and different sharing time. And we don't think about it like that, you know. And, you know, to some people, Valentine's Day isn't important. We've made a big hype out of it over the years through marketing and everything else. But some people don't pay much attention to it, and it's kind of just another day. But if it was a special day in your life with your spouse, then you need to continue to do that. Flowers, you know. Bring them flowers if they like to have flowers. If they didn't like flowers, don't bring them flowers. But, sure. You know, you've got to remember what you've always done, and that should not change.
Let me ask you about that, actually. So, and I'm thinking about, you know, if people feel like, you know, well, mom's not going to know anyway. Mom's not going to know the calendar. She's not going to know it's Valentine's Day. But there are going to be things around that will clue her in. And if she is having a great lucid day, right, then she does know. And what she knows is that you didn't
acknowledge
attention
it.
To it. Yeah.
And that's a really good point. We always say, well, mom doesn't know. Usually, I mean, depending on where you are in your journey of dementia, you can sometimes come and go. And if you're in a community like Oakleaf Village, we've got hearts and flowers and all these things hanging up on the wall right now to decorate for Valentine's Day. So that's going to remind them, because one of the things a community does try to do is to remind people where, what day it is, where they are, what's going on in this world. We decorate for Christmas for a reason. It's not just because it looks pretty.
Sure.
It's to also help these folks remember what time and space it is.
Absolutely. Well, and so every day isn't just exactly the same,
exactly.
Right? I mean, yeah, you want to have those special occasions and hearts and flowers are a special occasion.
Right.
And you talked about bringing things, Karen, when you just said about, well, if they like flowers, then bring flowers. If they didn't like flowers, then don't. One thing you need to remember, and is Oakleaf does a great job. Other locations do a great job of doing their best to find out what makes someone tick. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, if you're dealing with someone with dementia, you probably have a very good idea of what mom or what dad or what uncle so-and-so loved when they were younger.
Right.
And they've never been able to communicate that to the staff over at the facility.
Correct.
So you're going to remember things, and you might be bringing something that triggers a joyous moment for that person, and the staff just never knew that that was something that he or she liked.
Exactly. I mean, there are sometimes the staffs are smart enough to ask questions when you move into a community. We try to print up a list of things that we know that the person used to like. And it's not because we want them to try to do it again. It's so that we will know that if we're gardening, that's what that person needs to be doing is gardening. So, you know, if your mom liked to garden or your loved one liked to garden, bring her a little plant and y'all sit there and repot it or something like that. If they like to dance, bring in music and dance. Who cares who sees you or doesn't see you?
Right.
And who cares if it's 10 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night? Do it at the moment that you're there. It's called reconnecting and bringing them back to where you are to the best you can. You want to reconnect. And that's called, you know, love language. There's a whole series of studies on love languages. And it's important that that person knows that you are someone who loves them.
You know, and taking what you just said a step further, I can't speak whether or not it would happen or not. But if you're dancing with somebody, just for the sake of conversation, if you're dancing with someone you love, and you're doing so with the, hey, I don't care, this is, I know she's enjoying this kind of thing, it wouldn't shock me to see other residents want to join in.
Absolutely. If you're out in a common area where other people are, and there's music playing, and you get up and dance, certainly people are going to get up and dance.
That's what I mean. You might be starting something that is a blessing to so many other people also. So instead of worrying about what people are going to think about you, do it.
Think about what you're giving to them.
Exactly. That's my point. You're doing what in Judaism we call a mitzvah.
Okay.
You're doing a blessing, a gift for somebody. And who cares if somebody looks at you side-eyed like, well, this is not normal. We don't dance. You know what? If it brings my mom or my dad or my aunt, my uncle joy, that's what we're doing
today.
We're
going to do that right now. And it's
I'm not
okay.
infringing on anybody else.
No, and you really aren't. And, you know, if you're in a place that says that, then you might want to re-look somewhere else.
Right. Yeah, what kind of places if it, you know.
That's
we don't
scary.
Do that
but
here.
But I think you make a good point, though, Kev, because it's not about visiting for obligation. It's not about visiting out of habit. It's not about visiting because you feel like it's the right thing to do. It's about having joy in your heart and wanting to take love into that space, especially on the annual day to celebrate love in all kinds, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, show up with joy, show up with fun, be smiling and excited. And
you know, the other thing is there are a lot of people in communities that don't have people who can come visit. They live out of town or whatever. So bring crafts. Okay, your mother liked to make cards. So bring enough crafts that you can make cards together with people.
Sure.
Or color. And you know, that sounds childish, but you know, there are adult coloring books now. Mm-hmm. Personally, I still like the child ones, but that's okay.
I don't know. I have a really good adult coloring book.
I was going to say, Lainey has one that has words that were
not.
It is chock
full of profanity.
Oh, that's great. Maybe I need that.
Yeah.
You can't say that on the air.
That's a good one.
Lainey got two of those for her birthday from her friends yesterday.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah. Tell her I love mine. I absolutely love mine.
Oh, that's excellent.
But back to what you said.
Whatever.
Again, if you can, there's so many people, too many people, unfortunately, that are not going to get visits for Valentine's Day. Too many people that are not going to see relatives enough. And so if nothing else, don't hesitate. I used to always, when I'd go see mom, would always, if somebody else was sitting at another table, hey, would you like to come over and join us?
Yeah. Exactly.
And my mom was so cool with that because my mom was so social anyway.
Yes.
She was always looking to make friends, but she also understood why I was doing it.
Yeah.
Because no one else was offering to bring that nice lady over there over. Sometimes I said yes, sometimes I said no, mm-hmm. but at least we offered.
You offered, and that's the big thing. And if you do bring in, oh, I don't know, pedophores, that was a thing I used earlier, or cookies or whatever it is. Bring in enough for everybody if you can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that can get expensive, and if you can't, that's understandable. But if you can, that would be great. The other thing that I want to remind people is fragrances. Fragrances trigger a lot of memories. So if your spouse had a perfume that they liked, try to find it, because it might trigger a memory that you're not aware of. Mm-hmm. And it could be really cool to see what happens.
Interesting. Very interesting.
If you have any questions, give me a call back at 803-808-3477 or oakleyvillagelexington.com.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ms. Karen.
Happy Valentine's Day and happy Fat Tuesday.
Thank you very much. Thank you for everything, Ms. Karen.